We begin the current Daf Masechet Seif and Daf Nun Aleph. We begin two lines from the bottom on Daf Nun Amud Beis, where the Gemara continues discussing the Mishnah on Daf Mem Tes. And that is, it was talking about somebody that was on the road, and it's about to become Shabbos. And he's stuck on the road, he wants to be able to get home. But he sees he's more than 2,000 Amos from his home, from his city, which means that he's out of the Tchum. However, he realizes there is something that he recognizes, a tree or a wall, that's within his tchum where he is right now, and it's also within the tchum of the city. So therefore, what he wants to do is, he says, let my shvisa, let my locus, let my residential area for Shabbos be over there by that tree. So he, when Shabbos is going to start in a few more seconds, he's going to be on one end of that tchum, because wherever you have a shvisa, you have 2,000 amos in every direction. So he's within 2,000 amos of that tree, and therefore, since the tree is really where his shvisa is, he's within 2,000 amos of the city. So the Mishnah said that if he says tachtav without specifying where under the tree, so that we said that that's not going to be good. We had a machlokes regarding a Rabban Shmuel if it's not going to be good to get to your home or even to go to the tree. And then the Mishnah said, which is what our Gemara is going to be discussing, regarding someone that says he specifies where under the tree, he says be'ikarai, by the root of the tree, then we say that that's going to be good. That will become your shvisa, because again, you're creating it now as your makom shvisa and you're within that tchum, and therefore you can get home. That's where our Gemara begins. Amar shvisasi bi'ikara. If someone said, let my shvisa, again, he's on the road, and he's more than 2,000 amos away from his city or from his home, wherever it is that his tchum is 2,000 amos, he's, let's say, 3,900 amos away. So he says, let it be over there by the root of that tree, which is within his tchum. Mahalach mimakim raglavad ikara alpayim amos. So therefore, he can go from where his feet are up until the root of the tree that's within 2,000 amos. Umikara labeis alpayim amos. Now he could also go from the root of the tree to his home, which is also within 2,000 amos. Nimtza mahalach mishachashicha del alpayim amos. So it comes out, when it was already Shabbos, he was walking up to 4,000 amos. How's that possible? You're only allowed to go 2,000 amos. Because he was at the extreme of his tchum. That wasn't where his shvisa is, where he was when Shabbos started. His shvisa was where the tree is. He was allowed to do that, to say that, let my shvisa be there. I'm at the edge of that shvisa. And therefore, he can go to the other end, which is always a diameter, an area of 4,000 amas. And that's what he was allowed to do. So this is where Gemara begins, on the top of Nanav and Manav. Amar Rav. So Rava says, this is only that he's allowed to do this, that if he would run, he would reach the tree. That this, that the Mishnah says that it will work when you specify where under the tree be ikarai. That's only what Rav is saying. If you would run, you'd be able to get there before it gets dark. Then saying, let my shvisa be there, would work. And then, you, of course, once you make that as your shvisa, so that now that your tree is within 2,000 amos of your home, you can actually get home. To which the Gemara asks, Samlei Abaya, what do you mean? Our Mishnah says that it's getting dark, and what does the inference mean? That obviously he cannot get to the tree, he can't get anywhere, it's about to become Shabbos. He says, let my shvisa be there, and therefore he'll be able to get to the tree, which will be 2,000 amos of his home, therefore he'll be able to get home. So how can you say it's talking about only if he could run and get to the tree before Shabbos, then we could see it as if you're living there, as if that's your shvisa. But you can't say that, because it says Chashkala, it's about to get dark. So on that, Rava answered, Chashkala Beisai. When it said that it was getting dark and he can't get there, where can't he get? It's that he can't get all the way to his home, even if he would run. But to get to the root of the tree, to the trunk of the tree, there if he would run, he'd be able to get. That's the case of our Mishnah that gives this special dispensation that you could even make the air, even if you're not there, you just want to say you're pointing to that area and saying, that's where I want it to be. That's only if you could actually get there. Then we could say, oh, that's where you're living, you're just not there right now. But if you can't even get there through running, then it's not going to work to say that shvisasa b'makom pleini by the ikar shelilan, even if you're specifying the designated area under the tree. Ikadam, that those would say a different version. Amar Rava, Rava answered that you're right. Chashchalai, it meant that it's getting dark and he can't get to the tree. But it's talking about that he can't get to the tree kimaski kali kali, if he's walking very slow. But if he would run, he'd be able to get there. Again, the same idea is being expressed by Rava in the way he responds. Either way, it means that he has to be able to get there. But one interpretation is saying that Chashchalai meant that he can't get there because it's getting dark, he can't get to his home, but he could get to the tree. And the other approach is saying that you're right, he can't get to the tree like you're asking about Chashchalai. So how does that work with what I'm saying, that he has to be able to get there? It means he can't get there if he was walking at a regular pace. But if he were to run, then he would be able to make it. Now the Gemara brings the story that Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef have a ka'azli b'orcha. Once Rabbi and Rabbi Yosef, they were both walking on the road. And again, it was about to get Shabbos, like the case that we're discussing of our Mishnah. And Amalei Rabbi Rabbi Yosef, so Rabbi said to Rabbi Yosef, Teishviseseinu tutei dikla desavolachu, let our residential area be under that tree that's supporting its brother, which means that there was a tree that was leaning on that tree. So it says, let our residential area be under there, which is basically the case we're discussing now in our Gemara, that you could say, Shvisasi be Kari Shalil, and if you designate exactly where you where it is, even though you're not there, you could say, let it be there. Barmigla, some say a different version. He said, Tute Dikla de Park Mori Macharga, that let it be under the tree that alleviates its owner from taxes, in other words, because it makes so many fruits, and that he could sell it, he could pay up all his taxes. Either way, he was saying that, you know, we're not there, but we want to be able to get to a certain place that's within, let's say, 4,000 amas, which is not enough to get to Shabbos, but that tree is within 2,000 amas of where we are, and that's within 2,000 amas of where we want to get to. So let's make it, that's where our Shavisa should be. So he asked him, Yodoli Mar, he says, do you know which tree I'm talking about? So Amalei Lo Yadanalei says, no, I don't know. I don't recognize the tree that you're referring to. I can't make it as a designated area for my Shavisa. So Amalei Samach Alai. So Rabbi Tori Rabbi said, rely on me. In other words, let my designation work for you. The time like we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yosi says, Im Hoyu Shnayim, if there were two people going together, and there again, it's Omer Shabbos, Echad Makir ve'Echad She'ena Makir. One person recognizes a tree or a wall that's within 2,000 amas of where they are, and that'll be within 2,000 amas of where they want to get to. So Zesh She'ena Makir, Meisa Shvisasi Lamakir, the one that does not recognize what that area to be able to designate as a Shvisa, gives it over to the one that does recognize it, and he says that, let my Shvisa be with you. Wherever you're making, let my residential area be with you. So therefore, then the one that does recognize it, he says, let our residential area be in that place, and together it will work for the other one that doesn't know. But the Gemara comments, Velohi, it's not really true. This that Rabbi told Rabbi Yosef, that in the name of Rabbi Yosef, such a brisa, it's not true. It wasn't said in the name of Rabbi Yosef. It was a regular brisa that was without a specific author. And he only told Rabbi Yosef that this brisa was in the name of Rabbi Yosef, so that Rabbi Yosef should accept from Rabbi this halacha. Because Rabbi Yosef always has his reasons with him. And that is, as the Gemara says in Masechtas Gittin, that when it says all the praises of all the different sages in Klal Yisrael, it said, Rabbi Yosi Nimukei Imoy. He always has his reason, so if he would have just told him that because there's a Brisa, so who's this Brisa? He wouldn't have necessarily agreed with him, and maybe he wouldn't have made the Shvisa with Rabbah. So the Rabbi wanted Rabbi Yosi to agree with him because Rabbi felt it was right. So therefore he said, in the name of Rabbi Yosi, that he should agree to him, that he should allow him to do Shvisa, to be Karisha Plaini, to join together with him, although he didn't know, but together piggyback on him by saying, Let you be my shliach to make the shvisasa, the makar, the one that does recognize it, can make it together for the person that's in the makar. Now the Gemara continues explaining that it says there in the Mishnah that, again, this person is walking on the road, he wants to be able to get somewhere. It's within 4,000 amas, not enough to walk on Shabbos because you only get 2,000. But he recognizes a tree or a wall or something that's within 2,000 amas of where he is right now, which that tree is within 2,000 amas of the home. So he could do it, as we just mentioned, be kosher plenty. Then the Mishnah says, it may in a makar. Let's say he doesn't recognize something. He sees, I wish I had something, but I don't recognize something. Oisha in the baki v'chulu, or he's not proficient in halacha. He doesn't realize you could do such a thing. I thought for to make it chum, you have to either put your food there or you have to be there, but to say let it be there, he didn't know such a thing. So therefore he says, okay, let my shvisa be where I am. Let me get 2,000 amas. And that the Mishnah says, so he's kaina alpayim amba b'mekayim, he acquires 2,000 amas of where he actually is, and then he could walk on Shabbos. Not more than that, but he gets 2,000 amas. Now the Gemara asks, Hanei alpayim amma, heichik sivan. This is really a fundamental question asked on the whole concept of Truman, but the application is definitely apropos for someone that's out in the fields, out in the desert, where he's not near any residential area, that he gets 2,000 amas from where he is. Where do we know this halacha that he gets 2,000 amas? So the Gemara brings the Tanya Gelinda Braisa. There's a pasuk in Shemais that says, Shavu ish tachtam. Every man should stay underneath himself, in other words, in the place where he is. The Braisa says, Elo arba amas, this is a reference to the four amas that is someone that goes out of his tchum, that all he has is dalet amas. This is where we learn it out from, that the tachtav shal adam, the area of a person, which is tachtav, is four amas, as the Gemara says elsewhere, the person himself is three amas, and for him to stretch out his arms makes it another amas. So that's four amas, that's all a person gets if he's out of his tchum. When the pasuk says, al yetzi ish mim kaimai, no man shall leave from his place, That's a reference to Elo Payim Amma. That's a reference to 2,000 Amas. To which the Gemara asks, Minolan, how do we know, we understand the Shvuish Tachtov, which was a reference to those people that had gone out of the Tchum to collect the mon. That's Tachtov, we understand the place of a person is 4 Amas. That's when you leave your Tchum. When it says that every other Jew that didn't leave their place, they shouldn't leave Mimkaimai, that they get 2,000 Amas, that's how far their Tchum is. How do we know that that Mimkaimai means 2,000 Amas? So the Gemara says, Amrav Chizda. Lamanu, we learn, and the Gemara is going to go through a cheshbon of a gzeres shava. That is, when there's a gzeres shava, it says in one place one word. Another pasuk says the same word. So we could learn that the principles that apply to that pasuk that has the same word applies to the other one that we want to learn it out from. Which the Gemara says, Lamanu mokam mi mokam. We learn the gzeres shava of our pasuk says mimkai mai. It says the word mokam. And a different pasuk says mokam also. Umakoi minisa. And we learn out the idea of mokim from that pasuk that also says the word of nisa of fleeing. And that is as follows. Let's say there's a pasuk that says the word mokim, but it doesn't say the word nisa. Like our pasuk, it only says the word mokim of place, but it doesn't talk about fleeing. We learn out that from a different pasuk that says mokim, says the word place, and it also uses the word nisa of fleeing. For example, let's say Rashi says, like our pasuk over here, it says, al yetze yishmim kaimai. That a person should not leave from his place. We learn that pasuk from a different pasuk that says v'samti l'cha mokoyim. It says also the word place, but it also has the added word of ashayon shama, that to where a person should flee, which is told by the Ir Miklat, the city of refuge, by someone that kills by mistake. So the limud is that just like over there where it says the word nisa, fleeing, it says ashayonis. So also regarding the pasuk of al yitze ish mim kaima, we include the component of nisa of fleeing, which means basically as if it said the word nisa by our pasuk too. Because again, just like there it says makam, here it says makam, and there nisa applies to it, which is fleeing. Here also nisa applies to it. What does that mean? As the Gemara continues, because we need the word venisa, because we learned that out from something else that has the word nisa with a different component. Venisa menisa, and fleeing from fleeing. Venisa mikvul, and fleeing from the border. What that basically means to say is that we learn out this place where it says fleeing, where it doesn't say gavul, it doesn't talk about border, from a different pasuk that mentions nisa also, that does mention gavul, it mentions border. That it says in the pasuk, migvul ir miklata yashayanas, that from the border of the city of refuge to which he runs to, and that we include the other nisa, which is our pasuk. Again, although our pasuk doesn't really say nisa, but since it says makam, and a different pasuk says makam, it says nisa, so we say nisa is also by our pasuk. Now our pasuk will apply from nisa, that will also have the application of gvul, of border, because again, of the different pasuk that has nisa and gvul, learns to the other pasuk that has nisa and makam, which then learns that back to our pasuk that only has makam. Again, and then the gzeir shava continues. The gvul megvul, and border from border. The gvul mechutz, and border from outside. What that basically means is that we learn out the gvul that doesn't say the word chutz from a different pasuk that has gvul that does say chutz also, which that's a different pasuk that says, Ematza oisa goyel hadam mechutz. Again, talking about the city of refuge. So for the third pasuk that says, and then if the redeemer of the blood, which basically means the relative of the person that was killed, by the person that killed by mistake, if he finds the killer outside, mechutz legvul, outside the city of refuge, where there it uses the word chutz and gvul. So from there we learn out that chutz from Gzeir Shava to the gvul, of again, back to our pasuk, it always filters back to al yetze ishmim kaimai, because again, we learn that makam from the other makam that nisa applies to that pasuk. Then that nisa is learned out from the other pasuk that has nisa and gvul, which again, so gvul constantly filters back, and then gvul from chutz. So chutz goes all the way back. And then finally, v'chutz mi'chutz, the final part of this whole succession of gzeres shavas, the final one that teaches us our halach is that it says from a different pasuk of chutz, the chassid says a pasuk about midbar, u'madoisi mi'chutz le'ir es pa'askei, that you will measure from outside of the city to the eastern side, al payim ba'am of a gamer, 2,000 amas. Again, which the final one is that there's chutz of a different pasuk that says this, u'madoisim chutz le'ir, where there it says this idea of al payim ba'amah. So again, finally, the whole chutz, which is the final one, which is the pasuk that says chutz outside is giving you the measurement of 2,000 amas, it says if our pasuk that says mimkaimai, as if it also says the word chutz, and if it says the word chutz, we can learn a chutz from chutz, which is just like over there, chutz is 2,000 amas, here also chutz is 2,000 amas. Fine, that's the limit how we know the idea of a person's chum is 2,000 amas on Shabbos. That's what mimkoimai means. Again, from learning makam, to nisa, to gvul, to chutz, giving us the idea about 2,000 amas. But then the Gemara asks, I understand the gzeir shava was, and this is a messiah gzeir shava, it's not something that's made up by the Tamid HaCham themselves. but it's learned chutz from chutz. V'neilif mikir ha'ir v'chutz, but there's a different pasuk that also utilizes the word chutz, that it means from the wall of the city and outside. There it says elef amah, 1,000 amas. And this is told by the city of the Levium, that for although they had a certain area outside the city of 2,000 amas, a certain area of it was only 1,000 amas, regarding a certain component about what the development of their cities were like. So therefore, since it says the word chutz there also, and therefore, maybe we should say the chutz of our pasuk of Memkaimim. Again, although it doesn't say chutz, it's as if it said chutz because of all the gzeirus shavus, we say the applications of those pasukim apply to the ones that they're compared to. And then here it says the measurement is 1,000 amas. Maybe a tumah of a person should be 1,000, not 2,000 amas. Who said learn it out from the other pasuk of where it says michutz le'ir, alpayim ba'ama. So the Gemara says, danan chutz michutz. We learn the exact word of outside from the word outside of the pasuk of umadaisi michutz le'ir. However, v'in danan chutz michutz. But we don't learn out the idea of outside to the pasuk of chutz of outward. That there it says mikir ir v'chutz. It's not exactly the same. So therefore, since one says chutz, that's the pasuk that we're learning at Makom from Nisa and Gvul. It continues on, and the final one is chutz, which learns out from the other one of chutz. That's where we're getting it from. So therefore, there it says chutz. That exact word says by the one of 2,000 amas. But to learn chutz from chutzah, which is outward, is not exactly outside. That we're not going to learn. But on that, the Gemara asks, "Umay nafkamina, what's the difference that you're saying we're going to learn chutz from chutz and not chutz from chutzah because it's slightly different?" But we hatanu de Rishmol, we learned in the Brisa Rishmol that seems to indicate that it doesn't make a difference to have the same exact word, and especially here where it's really the same word, just a little bit different of chutz and chutzah. We find that even when it's two totally different words, when it means the same thing, we can learn gzeirus shavah. As the Brisa over there says, it says in the pasuk v'shava kain that the kain shall return, and a different pasuk in that parsha says uvah kain, and the kain shall come. And that is, as Rashi explains, from it says in Teres Koyanim, that the psukim are talking about negibatim, which are the certain afflictions, a nega that's of tzaras that's on a house. So if a kohen comes and he sees it's a nega, so what he does is that he closes up shop, he closes up the area, he cordons it off for a week time. Now, after that 1 week of hezger, as it's called, where it's closed off, for 1 week, it says, after the week, it says, v'shav ha-koyin b'yemishri. The koyin comes back on the seventh day. And he sees, v'hini pasa ha-nega b'kiris ha-bayis. He sees that it got bigger. The nega got bigger. So then the pasuk says afterwards, so v'choltzer ha-savonim, he takes off the stones, v'sabayis, yiktziyah mi-bayis, yaklif ofer ha-bayis sov-vakir. He goes and he peels off the stone and the plaster, wherever it was, that had the nega around that area. And then he goes and he puts in new stuff, and then he plasters it up. That's where it says over there in the pasuk of a shava kain. Bryce and Teres Kham continues that how do you know regarding a nega that it didn't get bigger after the first week? Rather, it stayed exactly the same, and therefore the kain did not take off the stones and take off the plaster and then to put on something new. Rather, he waited another week. He waited till after the second week. And then after the second week, then it finally got bigger. There the Bryce says that how do you know that then he's going to do the same process, that he's going to take off those stones and the plaster and put in the new stuff, and he's not going to demolish it right away? And that is what the Bryce there says, that there's a different pasuk of Tamalayim Uvoha Koin. The Koin comes, and he sees with the pasuk and it got bigger. Now, the limud is telling as follows, that because although really there where it says Uvoha Koin, which we're learning means regarding that when it didn't get bigger after the first week, where there it says Veshava Koin, rather it's after the second week, because after the first week it didn't get bigger, and it's only after the second week that it got bigger. It says Netitza, it says that it should be demolished. How do we know that really you're not going to demolish it? Because that's learned out from this Gzeres Shavah, that it says regarding when it got bigger after the second week, it says Uvo HaKoyin, and it also says when it got bigger after the first week, where this says V'shav HaKoyin, the Koyin shall return, which our Gemara says, that's the limit of the Brisa of Tanda Baby Shmuel, Zuhi Shiva, Zuhi Bia. This, when it says that the Koyin shall return, is the equivalent of when it says that the Koyin shall come. In other words, it's the same thing. What does it mean, the same thing? Just like over there, that he first takes off the stones that the neg is on, and he takes off the plaster, and he puts in new bricks, and he waits, he gives it a new week to see what's going to happen. Here also, he takes it off and demolishes it and gives it a new week. And then if it comes back, then is when we say it needs to be totally demolished, the building has to be taken down. But not that it's going to be demolished right away. Now, so what we see from this limud of the Gzeirus Shavah of the Tanur Rishmol is that although it doesn't say returning, but since Shev and Ba, returning and coming, is the same thing, both of them mean the Kohen coming from his house. to the house that has the nega, so therefore we make a gzeira shava, and we say that it's the same idea, just like over there after the first week. You don't demolish it. Again, you put it, you locked it off for 1 week, and then you come back, you see it got bigger. What do? You don't demolish the building. You first take off those stones that it is, you take off the plaster, and you put in new stuff, and then you wait, and then you see if it comes back, then you have to demolish the whole building. So to over here, when it says uvaha koin, the koin will come, it's a reference as the Brisa over there elaborates and says that it didn't get bigger after the first week. So you wait another week. After the second week, then you see it got bigger. Although the pasuk sounds like that you do benat, that you demolish it right away, we say that no, from the Gezeirah Shavah, we understand it to mean b'shav ha-koin uvah ha-koin. Just like after the first week when they got bigger, you first take off the stones where the nega is, and then you wait a week to see what happens. Here also, you're first going to take off those stones and put in new stuff, and then wait to see what happens. If it comes back, then you demolish it. So basically, again, the Gemara's question is, why are you saying that we learn out the tchum of a person 2,000 amas from chutz, and not chutz from chutzah, where there would be 1,000 amas, because it's not exactly the same. Here we have two totally different words of returning and coming, but since it means the same thing of when the kohen's coming to see what happens after it got bigger, that we see you make a gzeirah shavah and compare it, so why wouldn't you say chutz from chutzah? So the Gemara says, you're right. But hanemili heichid deleke midi didamile. When are we going to compare two different words, even though they're totally different words, but it means the same idea? That's when there is nothing else to compare it to, then we'll say that will be the gzeirah shavah. But where there is something that is exactly more comparatively, which in our case are the words chutz and chutz, then we're going to learn the gzeirah shavah from the one that it's exactly the same and not the one that it's similar to. So therefore, although we have a mistake for the gzeirah shavah, sometimes it's not exactly what it's supposed to be. So therefore, by a sheva kind, the bar kind, that we knew there's a gzeirah shavah, but there is no exact word of shev and shev or bo and ba, so we say it's even sheva ba. And however, in our case, where we knew there was this gezeirah shavah of chutz and chutz, we're saying that's going to be chutz from chutz, exactly the damilei, and not from chutz and chutz lo, which is not exactly the same. Now Gemara continues, elaborating again from the Mishnah, that spoke about, so this person that is outside in the fields and he gets 2,000 amas. How do you measure these 2,000 amas? Because a person is not going in a linear fashion. He has this area around him. Wherever he is, he's in this circular fashion, so to speak. He gets 2,000 amas around him. How do you measure that? On that, the Mishnah said, Alpayim ama gulois, that you get 2,000 amas in a circular fashion around him, because that's basically what it means. Wherever you're going to go will be 2,000 amas in a circle. That will give you 2,000 amas. Chum said, no, you get a square, which the Gemara asks as follows. Reb Chanina ben Atignas, he was the opinion that we just quoted, that he said you get 2,000 amas in a circle. The question is, man of shach, either way it's difficult to understand this opinion. Because he is like gzeir shavah, if he has the gzeir shavah that we just explained the Gemara before, that we know it from Al Yetzi Ishmim Kaimai, and Makam, from Nisa, from Gvul, going all the way back up from Chutz, that we see that it's going to be 2,000 amas. Peyus Ksivan, there in that pasuk, it says the word pa'as. Now pa'as connotes as payers and payer from the fields, that it means the corner, which basically means say, how do you don't have a corner in the circle. It means that obviously tchumen are measured in squared fashion, that it has a corner. Now, if that's the case, how could he say that it's circular, the person's tchum? Obviously has to be that it is a payer. And he less like gzeir shavah, if he does not have the gzeir shavah, so where does he have the limit? How does he know that the tchum is 2,000 amas? The source that we mentioned before is only that it has payer. So again, although logically, it makes sense, like a B'chanin ben Atignas, that the tchum should be circular, because if you're going with the square, as the Gemara is going to explain, it's going to be more than 2,000 amas in the square part. But the limud that's teaching us this halacha is teaching us that pa'as, that there is a corner. And so therefore, how do we understand him that it says that it's circular? So the Gemara answers, lo'ilam is like gzeir shavah. The truth is, he holds up the gzeir shavah that we said before. But then the question is, it says over there pa'as, l'chayr, it should be that there will be in the square and not circular. But here it's different. Why? Because the pasuk over there says in Bamidbar, Zeyelahem Migrashe Arm, this lima that it learns out from the source of 2,000 amas, the psukim over there says that this will be for them the open area of the cities. That's the idea by the Ari Halavim, that there's a certain area of 2,000 amas outside of the city, which part of it is what we said, the other pasuk of Elef Amah, part of it was a certain open area. So it says, the limud of that, the way he understands it is, lezeat and nice and payas. For the city of the Levim, for them you give corners. That's why it says, ze yilehem. This should be for them, for the Migrashe Arim, for the open areas of the cities of the Levim. They're going to have pay, you're still going to have corners, because by them it's squared. However, the at the nice and pay is l'shev si Shabbos, but you don't give corners for those that are making the residential area for Shabbos, and therefore all you're going to have are agulis, because although we learn out the idea of the tchum of 2,000 amas from that whole gzeirah shava of makom from Nisa and continuing all the way to chutz, however, the application of payas will not apply. That's only by the Ari Halavim, as it says, zeh yilehem, only over here, this one, but not other ones. Rabban, and how do they explain this zeh l'chayre that Rabbi Chanina ben Atignis has a good point that it has to be circular, not square, because square is only by the Ari Halavim. So Tanya of Chananya Omer, kezeh yiyu kol shev si Shabbos. That, no, when it says this one, it means like this one should be all those that make their Shabbos, which again is going to be square. It's going to be by every area of Shabbos that we learn of the Gzeir Shava, not going to be circular. Rather, it always has to be square as it is by the Ari Levim. So now, according to this, the Gemara says two ideas that on what the Rabbanan is saying, that Kol Shev Sei Shabbos have to have this squaring, not just by the idea of Tchumen. So therefore, Amar Acha Bar Yaakov, Hamar Dalar Amis B'Shusar Amis, someone that carries four Amis in the public domain, which is the Isra of Haitzah, Ein Chayiv At Shemaveh Hein Malach Sainan. Interestingly, although we generally understand the idea about carrying four Amis in the Shusar Am, that it means literally four Amis, he says, you know what, it's not really four Amis. You have to carry four Amis and the diagonal, which basically means four Amis with 8/5 of an Amma, which comes out to 5 3/5 of an Amma. Because this was the statement that he said, that kezeh yiyu kol shev se Shabbos, that this idea that there has to be corners applies to every area of the halachas of Shabbos. Now, regarding transporting something in Rosh Hashanah on Shabbos, there is no application of corners, only in such a case that we spoke about of tchumen, that we give the shir of the lachsainen, because you can't say to any idea about circular or making a square, because it's linear. A person's going in a one dimension when he's walking somewhere. It's only when you're making a tchum where there is it's two-dimensional, so then you could say either it's circular or square. So how would we apply kol shev si Shabbos of to have this idea of kezeh yu that should have a corner? It means to say that you cheshben at the corner of this area of Dalet Amis, which is basically adding on a more of an area that it generally is. It's going to be 5 3/5 amma to be chayiv on the isra of carrying four amas in Rosh Hashanah. On this topic, similarly, the Amra Papa, Badik Lan Rava. Rava had tested us, and he checked us by asking us the following question. Amin Rosh Hashanah, we have something that's standing up in height in the Rosh Hashanah. Givaya Yud V'Rachav Dalet. That's 10 tvachim high, and it's 4 tvachim wide. So the question he asks, does it have to have it and its diagonal? In other words, does it have to be 4 tefachim wide in its square that you should be able to have a diagonal? Because again, something that's circular has no alochsin or not. In other words, basically we're saying to create it as a reshus hayachid, which has to have those dimensions, does it have to be square or could it be circular that it, again, has the height of 10 tefachim and it has the area, the diameter of having the area of Shasar Yachid, which is four? Or does it have to be a square? We answered it. What do you mean? Lav Hainad Reb Chananya? Isn't this the halacha that we had just mentioned of Reb Chananya? The Tanya Reb Chananya Omer, kezeh yiyu kol shev si Shabbos, that for this idea of corners has to be all areas of halachas of Shabbos, and therefore, yes, to create a Shasar Yachid, it's not enough to be circular. Rather, even if it's circular, but you have to be square out inside of that area, a square of the dimensions of Rosh Hashanah Yachid, which is 4 tefachim in the width, and it's not enough to be circular, it has to be squared. Now the Gemara continues with our Mishnah that spoke about a few different ideas. Now Gemara is going to have a machlekes exactly how to understand this. It said in the Mishnah, V'zehu sha'amru ha'ani ma'arv baraglavim. This is what we said, that the poor person can make an erev with his body and not with bread. On that, Amar Reb Meir, all we have is the poor person, that he could do it with his body, but not the wealthy person. And that Rabbi Huda argued that no, even the wealthy person could do it with his feet. It was just that they had made the idea about making erev with bread as a convenience for the wealthy person, but not to say he could only do it with bread. Rather, even the wealthy person could do it with his feet. Now, to understand the machlokes that the Gemara is going to discuss, we have to understand the structure of the Mishnah. Again, first our Mishnah spoke about somebody that's walking on the road, and he's more than 2,000 amas from his city, but he sees something that's within 2,000 amas of where he is and of within his city. So he says, let my shemisa be tacht of the ilon. That the Mishnah says that's not good because he didn't specify exactly where under the tree. Then it said Shvisasi Biikar. He specified exactly where by that tree, by the root of the tree, by the trunk. That's where I want my Shvisa to be. On that, the Mishnah said that's going to work. Therefore, he's at one extreme of his locus, which is the tree, and therefore he could walk up to 4,000 amas, 2,000 amas from where he is to the tree, and from there to his house. That's going to work. Then the Mishnah spoke about, let's say he didn't recognize something, or he's not a baki in halach, he didn't know he could do that. So he said, let my shvisa be where I am. So he gets shvisasa bimkaimi, just by virtue of his being there, he gets 2,000 amas in either direction. Then the Mishnah said the words of that v'zehu sha'amr, this is what they said, that ha'ani ma'arv b'raglav, that he can make an erev where he is. Then the Mishnah mentioned this machlokes of Rebbe and Rebbe Yehuda, if it's only for an ani that we said ma'arv b'raglav, or even for an usher. And the question is going to be about which case did they argue about. This that Rebbe Meir says that it's only for an ani, and that Rebbe Yehuda says it's for an ani and usher. Were they arguing about the first case of when you're making it not where you are, rather be ikari shal ilan to that place that's there within 2,000 amas? You're saying I want it to be there. Was there that the machlekes was that only for an ani or even for an ani and usher, or were the machlekes even by the case of the second case? Shvisasavim kami, he doesn't know. He doesn't recognize an area, or he's not such a buck in halacha to know that you could do that. Rather, right where he is right now, said he wants to make an erev right here. Was that their machlekes? That on that, Rebbe Meir says that even with his body right now, that's only for a poor person, not for a wealthy person that has food. He has to bring food. And Rebbe Yehuda is saying that no, even a wealthy person could, because it was only again for the convenience of the wealthy, which brings us to the last idea of the Mishnah talks about, where it concludes and says that the idea of bread was only to make it more lenient for the wealthy person. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly who is the one that said that idea. And with that said, we begin our Gemara. Amar Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, and this is going to be a machlokes how to interpret the Mishnah, but his interpretation is that the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, again, that Rav Yehuda says it's mutter even for a wealthy person, which basically means someone that has the ability to bring food, that he could even do it baraglev, he could do it with his own body, he does not have to bring food. That machlokes was bimkoimi. That was regarding a case where he says, let my shvisa be in the place where I am right now, again, which is the second case. And as Rashi says, that regarding the next idea, that the idea right before that, that again, after where the case of Bimkaimi, before the Machlekes of Rebbe Yehuda, where it says, Zehu Sha'amr of the Mishnah, which is to do with his Raglav, the Gemara is later going to explain what that's going on. Is it going on in the case of when he recognizes a tree, which would be the first case of Bi'ikarai, and he says, let my Shvisa be in that place? Or is it going on the second case of where he's not a Baki, he doesn't know, and he says, let my Shvisa be in my place, which is the second case? But the idea is that the machlokes between Rebbe Meir and Rebbe Yehuda is going on the second case of Bimkaimi. And what is that machlokes? Rebbe Meir savar ikka erev bepas. Rebbe Meir holds the main idea of when it was instituted of erev is doing it with bread. And we continue on to Amud Beis. And therefore, since that's really the main idea of Erev, and you can't do it any other way, it's only Anihu Daikili Rabban Eloi. It's only a poor person that the Rabban will make lenient, and therefore someone that's coming on the road, which is the case Amish is talking about, and he doesn't have bread with him, for such a person, Rabban will make, they were lenient to say that you're allowed to say Shvisasa Bimkaimi, which was the second case. You're allowed to do it with just your presence being there. Which is talking about in a case where he doesn't recognize a tree, or he's not Baki, he doesn't know, or even for somebody that does recognize something, which was the first case of the Mishnah, where he says, Shvisase b'makom plain, let my shvisa be over there, these were leniencies we only had done for the poor person. So not only does Rebbe Meir say that regarding the first case of Shvisase b'ikarai, that not where I am right now, but within 2,000 amas, I want that to be my shvisa. Now not only was that only said for a poor person, that means someone on the road without bread, but even the second case of Shvisase b'mkaimi, that's where they're arguing on, a wealthy person cannot do it himself. He has to actually do it with bread. He can't just stay there by the tchum where he is to say, this is my shvisa. Aval usher, but a wealthy person, for example, let's say he's in his house, lai, for him, again, both cases of bi'ikarai or even bimkaimi will not work. And of that, Rabbi Yehuda saver, Rabbi Yehuda held no. Ikka erev beregel. The main idea of an erev is not with bread. Rather, it's with a person's body. When you say shvisa sitachti, let it be where I am right now. And therefore, it applies to whether a poor person or a wealthy person. That is, if a wealthy person goes out of his home and he stays by the border where he is and he says, let this be my new boundary, and therefore let it be 2,000 amas, another further 2,000 amas, that is the main mitzvah of Erev. as our Mishnah concluded that Lo'omrula Arv Bepas, we didn't say that a person has to make Eiv with bread only to be lenient. And therefore we see that the Ikr Takon of Eiv Trebi Huda was with a person's body. So therefore it makes sense that a wealthy person should also be able to say Eiruv Bimkaimi, because that's the main idea. It's not with bread. However, Aval Bimokim Plaini. So therefore, again, according to this interpretation of Rav Nachman, the machlokes regarding the second case, when the person didn't make the Erev in that place, either because he didn't recognize something or because he wasn't so proficient in halacha, but regarding the first case of b'mokum plaini, but in such a place, which was the first case of Bikarai, Devei HaKoil, there everyone would agree, even Rabbi Yehuda, that only in Ashrolai, that only a poor person could use that halacha, that leniency. Because that's not the main idea of air. The main idea is baragla, with your presence. Here is not with your presence, it's over there. It's with your mouth that you're creating it. For that was only a dispensation for a poor person and not for a wealthy person. And now the Gemara goes back to explain Bezuhi Sha'amrin, and this that the Mishnah said, that this is something that the Chacham said, that the Oni could be Ma'arv Baragla, which is Mashma, that the Ikar Takana of the Erev was not in such a case. Rather, that was a leniency that we had made for the poor person, that he could make an Erev with his foot, with his body. Man Ketanei La, whose statement is that? Which again, that in the structure of the Mishnah, that was coming after the two cases of the Mishnah of Bi'ikari and Bimkaimi, before it mentions the Machlekes Remeya and Yehuda. Whose statement really is that? That's Remeya. It's Remeya that he said that Ikar is with bread. Vahai Koy, in which case was he referring to? A'ena Makir, Oishayne Bakab Alocha. It was going in regards to the case that when he doesn't recognize a tree or a wall, or he's not so proficient in halacha, and he says, let my shvisa be under me, meaning in the place where I am right now. That's the second case. That Remei was saying, v'bezehu sha'amru, in other words, that even for such a case of bimkaimi, where I am right now, not in a further place, even that was only a leniency that Rabban had made for such a person to do it with his feet by an ani. But this is not really the ikar takan of an Erev, and therefore that's why it doesn't work for a wealthy person, as the Mishnah continues to quote Remeya saying, that for a wealthy person it doesn't work, even bimkaimi, it's only with his food that he's going to be able to make it. Then when the Mishnah concludes, after it mentions the machlekes, Remeya Behuda, v'loy omru ma'arvim bepas, that we did not say that you make an Erev with bread, which is mashma, that the ikar Erev, when it was instituted, was to do it with a person's regal, with his body, and that is, they didn't say to do it with bread, el lahakal, only to make as a leniency on the wealthy person, man ketanei la, who is the one that's saying this final statement of the Mishnah? That's Rabbi Huda, as the conclusion that he's the one that said the last statement. It's a conclusion of his statement that's, as we said before, because Rabbi Huda is of the opinion that the ikar Erev is with regal, not the Kremeya that holds the ikar Erev is with pas. That's Rav Nachman's interpretation of our Mishnah. However, the Gemara continues, Rav Chizda argues, and he says as follows. He says, Machlekes is b'mokim plaini. Not like Rav Nachman, that he said the Machlekes was regarding the second case of b'mkaimi, in my place where I am right now on the road. Rather, it's in the first case of the Mishnah that they argued regarding such and such a place, meaning by the Ikar Shalilon, underneath the root, by the he designated a place by the tree, where here you're not making an Erev with your food with bread, and you're not making an Erev either with your regal, with your body. Rather, just with your speech you're making the Erev to say, let it be there. And that is where we had the Machlokes. The Remeir Saver on the in Ashrolai. The Remeir said for this special dispensation, which according to everybody was not the Ikar idea of Erev, because you're not doing it with bread or your body, and that was only for a poor person. In other words, someone on the road that doesn't have any other way, but for a wealthy person, he can't do it from his place just saying, let it be over there. Rabbi Yehuda suffered, Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, and Yehuda said, no, even someone sitting in this home could say, let my Erev be 2,000 Amos away where I am right now, so that I can go another 2,000 Amos, which on Shabbos, which allow me to go 4,000 Amos. Av b'mkaimi, but Rav Chizda says, regarding the second case of our Mishnah, when he says, let the Erev be in my place, Devei HaKol, there everybody, even Rav Meir would agree, Echad Ani v'Echad Asher, even a poor person, even a wealthy person, that they can make it over there where they are. Why is that? The Erev Regal, because according to everybody, Rav Chizda says, the main idea of the Erev is with a person's body, and that's the case of Bimkaimi. And therefore, Rav Chizda says, Vizuhi Sha'amru, when it says in the Mishnah that this is what the Chacham had said, that only an Ani can make an Erev with his feet, which is Mashma, that's not the Ikar Erev, rather that was a leniency that was said for a poor person. How could that be? Rav Chizda is interpreting that everybody agrees the Ikar Erev with a person's foot. But that statement makes it sound like that it's only a leniency for a poor person, that therefore a wealthy person cannot do it, because that's not the Ikar Erev. Obviously, you have to say, Man Ketanei La, who's the one that's saying the statement? That is Rav Meir. And that is, although we said And Rashi explains why does it have to be Reb Meir? Because although, as the Gemara is going to say in a moment, that we're saying that this is told about a person that's coming on the road and it's getting dark, and he recognizes a tree or a wall, and he says, "Let my shvisa be by the root of that tree," which is the first case of the Mishnah, and that even Reb Yehuda agrees that that's not the Iker Mitzvah of Erev, because it's not even Biraglev, it's not even with his body. Still, we cannot say that it's like that statement is Reb Yehuda saying it, because since it says that it's only Ani, B'zehu Sh'amru, that's what the statement is saying, that Ani could do it Biraglev, but Reb Yehuda holds that even the Usher, Echad Ani ve'Echad Usher, Reb Yehuda says, as we explained, that he holds that dispensation was set even for wealthy, that's why it has to be that it's Reb Meir. Mahaikoi, in which case is it going on that he says that this heter was only said for a poor person? Aha, Misha Ba, but Derech V'Chashcha, this is going back on the first case of the Mishnah, where he recognized a tree and he says, "Let my shvisa be by the root of the tree," which is the first case, where there we said that he acquires his shvisa there. On that is what Remeir is saying, that Zehu Sharma, this is what we said, that only Ha'animur Arav Braglim, only the poor person can make the Erev with his body. In other words, it doesn't really mean with his body. It was a leniency for a poor person that we were makel, that even not in your place, even not in Bimkaime, even just with your words, he's saying, let it be over there. Again, not that this should be the Iker of Erev. Rather, the Iker Erev is only when you say Shvisas Bimkaime, in my place. Where there even Remeir agrees, according to the interpretation of Chizda, that the Iker Erev is with Baraglam. But Rabbi Yehuda says that even for a wealthy person, in other words, someone that's sitting in his home and he says, let my shvisa be at the end of 2,000 namas, even for such a person, they were lenient, and even though the Iker Erev is really Bimkaimi, where I am right now with Baraglov, that is the Iker Erev, but for Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that even the wealthy person can sit in his house and say, let it be over there with his speech alone, 2,000 namas away. And therefore, Rav Chizda subsequently concludes, when the Mishnah concludes, "V'loy amru ma'arvim bepas," when our Mishnah says that we did not make the Erev with bread, which is mashma that the Iker Erev is not with bread, el lahakel, only to be lenient on the wealthy person, for that was what bread was instituted, man ketani lo, who is saying this final idea in the Mishnah? Divrei hakoil, it's everybody saying it. It's not the conclusion of the statement of Rabbi Yehuda, because Reb Meir, according to interpretation of Rav Chizda, agrees that the Iker Erev was said with person's body in his place. And therefore, when it says that the Erev is done with bread, that obviously was not the Iker Erev. It was only a leniency done for wealthy, and that Reb Meir agrees to. So therefore, the conclusion is not only Reb Yehuda, but it's even Reb Meir. So again, to summarize these two, basically the fundamental principle of this machlokes of Nachman Reb Chizda, although there are different interpretations of how to understand the structure and the applications of the Mishnah, but basically Reb Nachman holds that according to Reb Meir, the Iker Erev is with bread. Whereas according to Yehuda, the Iker Erev is with a person's body, which is regal. According to Rav Chizda, both of them agree that the Iker Erev is baraglav with a person's body. The whole machlokes was regarding when he says, let my Erev not be here, but rather be Ikari Shalilan, at a faraway place, which not where he is. That the question was, does that Amira, does that statement, which according to everybody is not the Iker Erev, does that work even for a wealthy person? And that Remeir says, no, it's only the special dispensation for an Ani. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda said that even in such a case, it's going to work even for an Usher. Now the Gemara says that regarding this machlekes, Tanya Kavaseid Rav Nachman. We have a braisa that seems to indicate, just like Rav Nachman, that he says, in the way he understands the structure of our Mishnah, that the machlekes was in the second case of the Mishnah, regarding when he says, let my Erev be bimkaimi, where I am right now. That even where he says bimkaimi, that according to a mayor, a wealthy person, someone that has food, will not work. He can't leave his house and stay at the end of his tchum and say, let it be over here. He has to bring food. Whereas according to Yehuda, although he allows it for a wealthy person, that was only bimkaimi. But bimakim plaini bi'ikari shal ilan, yeah, even Rabbi Yehuda agrees that that's not going to work for an usher, only it was a special dispensation for a poor person. We see this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, echad ani ve'echad usher ma'arvim bepas. Anyone, a poor person, a wealthy person, can make the Erev with bread. However, a wealthy person is not allowed to go out of his tchum and say, let my shvisa be in that place, which Rashi says, this that says chutz l'tchum obviously cannot be like that, because if he goes out of his tchum, it's not going to help because he's going to be too far from where his home is. Rather means at the end of his tchum. Or Rashi says, even if it means dafka, precisely out of the tchum, it means but within 4 amas, which is where his shvisa is, because you always get 2,004 amas, because 4 amas is where you are, plus another 2,000 amas. Either way, a wealthy person cannot go at the end of his tchum and say with his body, let my shvisa be where I am, because we did not say that you can make an erev with your body, even in such a case where it's bimkaimi, where you actually are, only for someone that's coming on the road and it got dark, which is basically the equivalent of the terminology that we're using, of an ani, so therefore that will not work for a wealthy person. Divrei Rav Meir, that's the opinion of Rav Meir. So what you see is that according to Rav Meir, even bimkaimi, even in the place, not bi'ikari, in a faraway place, that only works for a poor person and not for a wealthy person. Again, one idea of where we see like Rav Nachman, that Rav Meir argues even in the case of bimkaimi, because he holds the ikar erev was not beragav and therefore does not work for a wealthy person. Rabbi Huda says in the next part of the Braisa that Echad Ani Echad Ashim Avim Beragel. No, not only could the poor person make a Erev in his Bimkaimi where I am with my feet, with my body, but even a wealthy person could do it. And therefore, the Yetzah Asher Chutz L'Tchum, a wealthy person is allowed to go out of the Tchum if he wants to, meaning towards the end of his Tchum. The Yomer Tehi Shvisasa Bimkaimi, and he could say, let my Shvisa be where I am right now. So obviously that according to Behuda, this that he allowed the usher, the wealthy person, was only bimkaimi, like Rav Nachman, not to say over there, because then he should have said even the bigger chiddush, it's only bimkaimi where he allowed it, again, like Rav Nachman, that the machlekes was only regarding the second case of bimkaimi, but regarding Ikar Shalilan, even Rabbi Huda would agree that it only works by ani, and not like a usher, the way Rav Chizda had said it. Then the Braisa concludes, Vizehu Ikar Shal Erev, and this happens to be the main idea of an Erev, which is with a person's body, and therefore it's going to work even for an usher. Not like Rav Meir, again, according to the interpretation of Rav Nachman, which the Braisa seems to indicate like that, then he holds the Ikar Erev was with bread, and therefore does not work Beragla for a wealthy person. And Yehuda concludes, V'tir Chachamim L'bal HaBayis, it was only a heter, it was something that was permission that the Chacham had made for a wealthy person, for a homeowner, L'shalich Yerubi, to send his heir, either Biad Avdei, through his servant, Biad Benoy, through his son, Biad Shluchi, through his messenger, B'shvil HaHakal L'Lav, it was only to make it easier for him as a leniency. But not that the Ikar Erev was with pass, rather it's Baraglav, and therefore even a wealthy person, since that was the Ikar Tokan of Erev, could do it Baraglav. And he even proves, I'm Rabbi Huda, I'll prove to you that this is what it's done, that it could be done even if you have food, even if you're quote-unquote an usher, that you can make a baraglav, because Maisa Ba'anshi Beis Mamul, there was a story with the people of Beis Mamul, U Ba'anshi Beis Gurion Ba'arayma, in this place of Arayma, Shoy Mechalkin Gregris, because they used to distribute these dried figs, Vitzimukim, and these were dried grapes that dried up and got shriveled, which basically are like raisins, La'anim B'shnei B'tzuras, to poor people, in the hunger years. Uboin ani kvar shichin v'ani kvar chananya. And the poor people of the village of Shichin and from the village of Chananya, who they were near Taruma within 4,000 amas, they would come, umach shichin atchum. How did they come? Because they would wait by their border, which was within 2,000 amas. They would say, let that be their shvisa. Ulamachas mashkim in the buns. And therefore, the following day, they would get up and come. So obviously, you see that the ikka erv is with a person's body. And when he says, bimkaimi, in my place, that's why they would wait by the boundary. So again, since they were within 4,000 amas, they waited at the end of the tchum, which is 2,000 amas, saying, this is my shvisa. So now I can go 2,000 amas in either direction, which 2,000 amas back to my home, and another 2,000 amas in the other direction, which is to that other city, to be able to get what they were distributing on Shabbos, which is the idea with a person's body, and bimkaimi. Now, Rashi says, although they were poor people, like it says over there, but since they were coming from their homes, obviously that on some level they had the status of Ashirim, because it's not possible that they didn't have 2 meals worth of sudas, because that's even what's Mechuyev Medina Tzedakah, that they have to have that. And yet in spite of that, they made an Erev with their regal, with their body, and they would wait there at the boundary. They wouldn't say with their mouth, which is Bimkaimi. That again is a writer of Nachman, that this halacha was said, Biraglav, Bimkaimai, that's the idea, what Rabbi Yehuda is backing up his opinion, that he's the one that's the leading opinion, that he says that you could do it Baraglav. When did he say you could do Baraglav? That is only Bimkaimi, but even he would agree, a wealthy person cannot do it B'ikar Shalil and B'makam Plaini, because that was only the special dispensation for a poor person, not for a wealthy person, not the way Rav Chizda had said it. So Amar Rav Ashi, Rav Ashi says that not only do we have a Braisa that seems to say like Rav Nachman, but Masnitin Namideka. We have a Mishnah that seems to be precisely like Rav Nachman, that according to Yehuda, when you say B'mokim Plaini in such an area, that will not work for a wealthy person. And this that he had argued in Rav Meir and said that it's even by Usher, was only Bimkaimi in my place when you're using Biraglav, that is where he argued. Diktan, like we learned in the Mishnah on the next daf, that says, Misha Yatza, someone that goes out on the road. He just started going out. He didn't even get so far. Leilechli Irishma Arvinla, to go to a city that people make an Erev to be able to get in. That is, it's that other city is within the city that he's at right now. It's within 4,000 amas. And therefore, on Shabbos, you can go to that city by making an Erev in between as a stopover to say that's your main Shvisa to be able to get from your city to that city. So he started going. However, his friend made him come back. He says, well, it's too hot. Oh, it's too cold, as the Gemara later explains. So therefore, he didn't end up going. However, on Shabbos, who mutru leilich, on Shabbos tomorrow, he's allowed to go to that city. However, v'chol b'nei ha'ir asurin, but the rest of the people of the city are not allowed to go. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Vavinaba, and we ask over there on that on the next sugya, on the coming daf, we ask, Maishna ihu, Maishna inhu? Why is he any different than them? All of them had intention to be able to go to that city on Shabbos. He just started going, and then he was brought back. So why could he go on Shabbos and the rest of the people can't? Rabbi Yehuda says, Hachma iskina, here what we're talking about in that Mishnah, is kagun sheishle shnei bat. We're talking about a person that has two houses, he owns two homes, one in this city, one in that city. And he wanted to go to his home in that city from before Shabbos and to stay there for Shabbos. And he didn't go out of his house with the intention to make to be koina a shvisa at the end of the tchum, which is within that would be on the way that 2,000 amas stop and then to be able to come back. Rather, when he was leaving was with the intention to be able to get to that city to be able to stay there because he has a home over there. Unlike everyone else, that all there would be the intention to make an Erev because they don't have a home in that city. But then his friend brought him back. And v'shnei tchumi Shabbos b'nei. We're talking about that there's two tchumen of Shabbos between them. In other words, there's 4,000 amas. That means 2,000 amas of this city and 2,000 amas of that city that's between the two cities. So ihu kiven the nafki leilu urcha. So this person, since he already went out on the road, he started going, although he didn't get too far because his friend brought him back. But because of that, he actually started going. And again, not because he wanted to make an Erev Beraglov, which would be the intention of the rest of the city. He wanted to actually get there to the other city from before Shabbos and stay there because he had a home there. So havali ani. So he is the halachic equivalent of being a poor person. And therefore, only he's allowed to say that let my shvisa be at the end of the tchum. And if he designates a specific area where it should be, that for him, that we say that even if he didn't say this, it's like an anan sahadi, we're saying testimony as if he wanted to go there, as if he had said that. Because he is the equivalent of an ani, he's on the derech. We said this whole heter of not having to use food or different dispensations was said when you're on the road. So he's really on the road heading home. It's just that he was brought back, but he was already starting. So therefore, since he's an ani, so therefore we say that he's allowed to do this be'ikar shel ploini. He's allowed to do this at a future area. V'hana chashir mninu, but they are the equivalent of wealthy people. And therefore, even if they say it with their mouths, let my shvisa be in that place, they're forbidden. Because, as Rashi says, if they didn't say it, it's obvious. But even if they did say it, so therefore the conclusion is, alma kamba makom ploini. Therefore we see that the idea of whenever you say in such and such a place, which is the first case of our Mishnah, be courage shel ilam, by the root of the tree, you're not there, but you're saying it should be there, on the in ashalai, it's only a poor person that could do that, not a wealthy person. And that's why it's that we explain that case is Toma, that he has two different homes. Because if he didn't have a home over there, then we wouldn't say that when he doesn't say it, it's as if he did say it, because maybe he's going to retract, maybe he changed his mind, maybe he's actually coming back. Shema minos, obviously you see, like Rav Nachman said, that is the understanding of the Mishnah over there, the way we said it with two different homes, it's only this person that he gets to go on Shabbos there, because we view it as when he was on the road, when he started going, again, only he was on the road to go. Everyone else was not on the road to go, they were just going there to maybe make an Erev, but he wanted to actually get to that city. So he's on the road. That's the equivalent of an ani that doesn't have the conveniences and the resources that he has at home. So although he comes back, but when he made it, he was an ani. So he could say Shvisas b'malkum pleini. Oh, you see that Shvisas b'malkum pleini was only for who? For an ani, not for an asha. That's like Rav Nachman that says that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that Shvisas b'malkum pleini is only for an ani because he says the machlekes that Rabbi Yehuda had argued on Remeya and said it's even by an asher was only b'mkaimi, not b'malkum pleini, not in such and such a plus. The Gemara says that Masni le Rav Chiya bar Ashi, le Chiya bar Rav, he was teaching him our Mishnah, Kamei de Rav, And he said, Echad Ani ve'Echad Asher, that applies to even for a poor person, even for a wealthy person, which is basically the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. So Amalei Rav, so Rav told him, Sayim Banami, you should conclude also, Halacha Kerb Yehuda, Halacha does follow Kerb Yehuda. And as Rashi says, through the interpretation of Rav Nachman, that Bim Kaimi, in my place, that when the person makes it with his body, without food, without pas, that it works not only for a poor person, or but even for a wealthy person. So the Gemara says, the Rabbi Bachan have a ruggle the Asi Mar Tivna. The Rabbi Bachan, the Gemara brings a story to illustrate this halacha regarding the machlekes of Nachman and of Chizda in our understanding of the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that this Amoyer was always, he would go from our Tivna every single Shabbos lepumbadisa. And we continue on to the top of Nambezim and Aleph. The Aman, he would say, every Erev Shabbos in his house, he would say, Tei Shvi Sase B'Tzinsa, let my Shvisa be in Tzinsa, which was a designated place between the two boundaries. So although from where he was to get to where he wanted to go on Shabbos was more than 2,000 Amos, he would make an Erev from his house and say, let my Shvisa be over there. So Amalei Abaya, my Daitcha. Abaya said to him, what's your thought process? You're what's the equivalent of a halacha of an usher, because you're in your home, and you're saying, let my Shvisa be in such and such a place, which is like Bi'ikari Shalila. Now, if you're going to say, because Remei, Rabbi Yehuda, we have a machlokes in our Mishnah, between Remei and Yehuda, we know when we have a machlokes between those two, Halacha Kreb Yehuda, and therefore you're saying it's even for an usher that we gave these special hetem, these dispensations, but and Va'amrav Chizda, machlokes, but more complaining, the machlokes is even for such and such a plus, for such and such a place, that even there, Rabbi Yehuda is lenient, it says even a wealthy person, someone in this house could do that. But how can you say that? Behav v'ha Rav Nachman, we have the opinion of Rav Nachman, that he says Rabbi Yehuda did not permit this for a wealthy person, for someone in this home, only when it's b'mkaimi, by using his actual body. V'tanya kavasein, we have a braisa that indicates like that, and we even said the Mishnah is meduik like Rav Nachman. So therefore this story ends, Amalei Hajibi says, you're right, I changed my mind, you're right, since Rav Nachman seems to be the correct pshat, and Rav Nachman says to Yehuda that only works for an usher b'mkaimi, not b'malkam ploini. Therefore, I can't go ahead and make that erev by me being my house and saying, let my shvisa be malkam ploini, because I'm the equivalent of an usher. And the usher, even according to Yehuda, who the halach is like, cannot do it b'malkam ploini, only b'mkaimi, only by doing it shvisa b'mkaimi, by using his actual body.